Hello, everyone. Welcome to Super Metal World. This is Michael.
And it's Ty.
This week, we are joined by Mark, our manager. What's up, Mark?
Not much, guys. Thank you for having me on again.
I think it's, what, the third time? Third time you've been on with us?
Who even cares?
No, yeah, I was on for the Dewey Cox episode and our Melvin's interview.
The Melvin's interview, yeah.
And I think that's it. This will be the third time.
I think so, yeah. I'm feeling a little under the weather. That's why I might be a little nasally. In my voice. So
we're
going to
do
me.
The heavy lifting and do most of the jabbering. Today we're going to actually talk about, Mark and I went to the Metallica show. They played in Grand Forks, North Dakota, which I'm sure you've never heard of. And that's why it was so amazing that they actually played there. We couldn't believe it when they announced it, how many ever months back it was that they did. It's a town in North Dakota. It's north of Fargo by about 75, 80 miles. It's a town of like, what, 50,000? Mark currently lives there. So.
Yeah, it's a town of
about... Don't murder him, please.
it's a town of about 50,000. It's a big college town, though, so it's kind of fluctuates throughout the years. 50,000 in the summer, probably 65, 70 in the other 9 months. But it is a town that you would not expect Metallica to play in, let's just say
that. Exactly. Yeah. And it had been 29 years since they had last played there. And last time they played at this place called the Hislop, which is... It's a funny venue. You guys obviously don't know what the Hislop is, it's not a big venue.
It's like a high school gym. If you went to like a bigger high school, it would be the size of your gym.
So it's kind of crazy. Really, it's really weird. That, yeah. That's where they played. And then this time, obviously, they didn't play at the Hislop. They played at the Alaris Center, which I don't even know how much that seats.
Under 20,000 is about, I'd say.
29 years. Was that like their Injustice for All tour?
Yeah, they were on their Damage Justice tour at that time. Okay. So... Yeah, they hadn't got back to Grand Forks since then. They've been to North Dakota before. They've been to Fargo. Couldn't tell you the last time they've been to Fargo. I guess sometime. My guess would be sometime in the early 2000s, maybe. Mm-hmm. But we also went to the Renaissance Festival this past weekend. I think we should talk about that. Michael was going to go with us, but he fell ill.
Yep.
So, he was unable to come. And this was our first time going there. It was hot as balls.
It was so hot. It was probably
politely
90 degrees in the scorching heat. No shade. I mean,
sparing shade.
Yeah. No clouds pretty much the whole day.
Nary a cloud in the sky. Yeah. It would have been a great, it would have been a great day for a lake day.
Yeah.
You know, it's a picture perfect day. Besides the humidity and it being 90, if it had been, a cloudless day, 70, 75 degrees, I think we would have been able to drink more alcohol than we actually ended up doing.
Yeah, we anticipated drinking like, I don't know, 7 or 8 beers and just getting drunk at the Renfest and having a merry old time. But instead, we were just cranking back to Sonny's the entire day.
Dehydrated and heat stroke.
You know it.
Yes, pretty much. I was convinced that we all had one of our friends was convinced that we had all low-grade heat strokes. And I think I agree with her. I think...
Agreed. Yeah.
Just had a headache and just, so when you're at the Renaissance Festival, it's a great thing. We're like shitting on it. It was just the weather, really. We still had a really good time. We got to see what the heck is the thing where the two horses.
Jousting.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, that was
awesome.
That
was
awesome.
It was played up a little bit. Like they did some WWE stuff where like the knight hopped on. Like, he stood on his horse, and he jumped and gave, like, a flying elbow to the ground.
Oh, my God.
Ground.
So, yeah, when... At least my impression of jousting, I thought the knights would fall off the horses more often. But they never did that. They're those... I don't know what they're called. Those big...
The lance
things. They would just break, right?
Sure. And that's how you would score points, or they drop them.
And then the last round... The knight like just purposely fell off.
He
tell.
Did get hit square. Like he got hit really hard, but he definitely staged his fall.
He fell off, and then what you were talking about, Ty, is the knight that won was starting to stand up on his horse, and we thought he was just going to stand up and put his arms in the air, but instead he like did a people's elbow off the horse onto the other guy, and then another knight came out with his shield and like
they basically all chose weapons after that.
That's incredible.
So they decided to like finish out their. I mean, of course, this is all pretty much staged. They all chose a weapon. The guy we were rooting for chose like a big hammer,
yeah,
basically. And then they all fought it out for a little bit. And there was a couple like shield bashes,
which were just steel chairs.
Were basically were like steel chairs.
Oh, good lord!
So it was great.
Yeah,
it was everything we could have hoped for and more.
Medieval wrestling, professional wrestling,
pretty much.
Hell yeah!
And I was actually telling I was joking with this to Mark and the people we were with that I'm a conversation starter on this Harry Potter binge mode group that I'm a part of on Facebook. So like I have this badge by my name every time I post. So it's like, it's a pretty big deal.
Nerd.
Wow.
Yeah. So basically there was like a lot of Harry Potter stuff there, I guess.
Yeah, memorabilia.
Yeah, memorabilia or like merchandise. There was like handcrafted Marauders map and there was wands, of course, and things like that. So I was taking a lot of pictures for my binge mode Harry Potter group to send to my homies.
It was really hard not to buy stuff there too, because they have a bunch of cool beer steins and like coffee mugs with
a lot of clay work
shit on it. Yeah,
a lot of stuff made out of like silver or steel or whatever the hell it was made out of. You could spend a lot of money there if you wanted to.
And it's nice stuff too, don't get me wrong. But yeah, it was a really fun time. We each had these just gigantic turkey legs, which is kind of a...
They're so good.
They are. They're so good.
The smoked turkey legs.
Yeah.
And
delicious.
Trying to think. We saw some shows. I was probably only impressed with like one of the shows. The piss poor show, where it was basically like the guy gave a shtick of like he's a piss poor magician.
Yeah.
And he played off that. Like
he kind of like mocked other like magic shows, I guess.
And he talked like he was drunk. He kind of talked like Dana Carvey.
Yeah. A very good like Dana Carvey Wayne's World impression. This is what he'd talk like. And
that was a really good show. And then we saw a couple other shows. We actually left during the last show because it was just trash.
Yeah.
It was just like this 50-year-old guy. Well, it was like the Tortuga Twins, but there's three of them, so that didn't make any sense. There's three guys, and they came up on stage, and like I don't even know what their what the purpose of their show was, because it was supposed to start at 5, and they kept coming out and saying, "All right, everybody. This is a rated R show. Are you excited to be here?" And like everybody, you know, they kept trying to like hype us up. Mm-hmm. And then they'd like bullshit with each other for a little bit with some pretty lame laughs. And then they'd be like, "All right, we want to reiterate. This is a rated R show. Are you excited to be here?" And this went on for like 15 minutes. I was like,
"What?"
They just kept hyping themselves up.
So their shows throughout the entire day during the Renaissance Festival. And earlier in the day, they're more kid friendly. You know, fun for the whole family. And then the later in the day,
the shows get more,
more adult,
adult
rated, R-rated, right? Yeah. So their whole thing was just like, they're like, "Oh, we have an R rating. We're just going to say penis and boobies."
And
flip off the audience. Yeah.
And show like a little skin. It was weird. It turned into like Chippendale comedy. It was we didn't sign up for this.
Yeah. Also keep in mind, we were nearing a heat stroke at this point.
Yeah,
too.
We didn't have time for this shit.
Yeah, of course.
But the weirdest part of the show is the guy told us that he was 50 years old, and then he went and talked to this 15-year-old boy, and they were talking about like masturbation. He's talking to a kid in the crowd, and he's said something about like, "Well, is that your girlfriend?" He's like, "Yeah," and he's like, "Well, it's her fault that you have to masturbate." So he's talking to two 15-year-olds.
What?
He's 50 years old. He's talking to them about their sex lives. I was like, "This is weird." Like, don't do that.
Maybe he was having a heat stroke.
Don't do that. Like, maybe. That's not funny. It's just awkward. It was actually funny because when he was in the middle of his masturbation spiel, an older couple like got up and left.
Yeah. Like, and that was our cue. Like,
we are not standing for this shit.
Yeah. That was kind of our cue of maybe we should do the same.
And we did.
We did. We just, I mean, we had like two benches to get over, but they were like in the front row and they just walked past them.
Yeah, that was a little weird. And then plus, other than that, they were just telling lame jokes, like you said, like penis jokes. Yeah. Like when he was talking to the kid, he's like, "Your hands shouldn't be on your lap. They should be up here. Like I'm doing jazz hands. Because if they're down there, they're called jizz hands." It was like that kind of really lame humor.
That's, wow.
It was really bad.
Yeah. So Metallica.
It seems like we're not, we keep going on the Renfest.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've already, if you're listening right now, hopefully we've already soaked you in and, hooked you in for the Metallica talk. The Metallica talk will continue after the music. So probably in another 10 minutes here. but it seems like I don't want to make it seem like we're shitting on Renfest. Mm. It was a good time.
It was a lot of fun. And the thing about Renfest too is there's like three or four different weekends of it. And one weekend is like an Irish themed. And the other weekend is Oktoberfest. We happen to go on the romance themed weekend.
Ooh.
Fucking lame. Yeah. And, I mean, what sucked about that was their theme was like wine and chocolate.
Yeah.
And
it was 90 degrees.
It was 90 degrees.
Oh, nobody wants wine and chocolate.
Yeah,
when it's,
yeah,
90
it's not a good combination. No. So, you know, yeah, a lot of it has to do with the weather and the
but it's really great and you should go.
Yeah. It's really affordable though too. We should mention that. It's like what, $20 to get in roughly, and it's a fun time. It really
is. I mean, other than like, I think it was probably just because of the heat again, but like all the dirt got like into my sinuses and I felt like I felt like I was coming down with a cold. And today I feel fine though, but I think it was like all the, you know, because it's not paved there. It's all dirt.
Dirt roads.
So
and stuff.
Yeah, dirt roads and paths and things like that.
Just like the 1400s.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they're staying true to their era there, but all the dirt and stuff got in my sinuses. And then I was like, I felt like a farmer, like coming in from like a 12-hour shift, where I like blew my nose and there was like dirt in my snot. It's like, this is gross.
And then there's people that dress up to those things, which, you know, it's fine. They can dress up, but like in 90 degree weather, they're wearing like knights outfits and like,
yeah, that's insane.
Layers
yeah.
of clothing.
And we heard like, what are you doing? Heard a lot of girls say like, "Oh, we should have went as belly dancers." Yeah, it would have been warmer.
It would have been. Yeah.
Anyway, yes, now we can move on to Metallica. So what are we going to talk about with Metallica? We're going to talk about just the show, because this was Mark's first Metallica experience.
It was.
And we just thought it'd be interesting to talk to him, because not only was it your first experience with Metallica, you're also like, you provide a good a source or you're not, Metallica's not your favorite band is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And metal's not your favorite genre of music. So I think it's nice to like, take a step back and ask somebody or talk to somebody who doesn't have their heart completely in it. I don't want to make it seem like you don't like, I mean, no, you like that kind of music to a certain extent.
Yeah. I love Metallica. I'm not a diehard fan like you two are. It's a band that's kind of weirdly been part of most of my life, because I've been friends with you two for a while, and our friend John, who's been on the show before too, he was a good friend of mine, still is, but he was a big Metallica fan as well. So I'm like a advanced casual fan. I guess definitely. I know a lot about the band for not really listening to them all that much. You know, I'm more than just the greatest hits. You know, I know more than that.
You know a couple more than,
but
yeah,
I don't know a lot of the deep cuts.
And you're not like Black Album only person. Yeah.
And I guess for street cred, I guess if you want to call it that, I go to a lot of concerts and I've seen a lot of arena bands, I guess, and many are, like Metallica, are considered, I don't know, top 25 bands to see. Springsteen, Pearl Jam, Foo Fighters, U2, Guns N' Roses. So,
we've even been to Chris Stapleton and Zach Brown.
Yeah, even smaller.
We have a large palette.
Yeah. So it's I have a good sample size of seeing really good acts, so I can, you know, have a little bit to go with there.
So that being said, just remember that we're on the social media. Super Metal World is where you find us. The main thing that you're going to find all our cool content is supermetalworld.com. Please go to iTunes and rate and review. I keep saying this, and I feel like people aren't doing it. So if you are listening right now, just stop what you're doing.
Go to iTunes.
And search Super Metal World. It will be one of the first things that pops up. It will say Super Metal World Podcast. You go and click on the star that you think we deserve. It should probably be a 5-star rating. I'll be happy with a 4, but if it's anything lower than that, I will probably cry and I may kill myself. So please do not let me kill myself.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here. Yeah, you did hear it here first. And if I have died, I apologize, but you saw this coming. And this is the evidence that it is your fault. So you could potentially be wanted for murder. You'd be an accomplice.
It's true.
You know, because I told you. I told you what was going to happen. And you didn't listen. Anyway, go to iTunes and give a 5-star rating. I'm serious. Give a 5-star rating. Maybe write a little review. It doesn't have to be anything that difficult. You just say like, Jesus Christ, you're great. Or, saw, dude. I don't know. Do people even still say that?
People still say that.
Is that dead
meme? Do people still say that?
I feel like those sayings like, just go quick.
Yeah.
I feel like my dude is a big one now.
My dude. Yeah.
Like that's the tough dude. One for my dude, or tough look from a guy.
What's
you know,
up,
like,
my dudes? Yeah.
Yeah, like that's definitely new.
Said it's.
We're still in our 20s, by
the way. My dudes.
We're still in our 20s. We're not old as
memes,
shit.
Memes move fast.
Memes, they do. Memes do. And like, yeah, anyway. So yeah, do that on iTunes. We got supermetalworld.com. We have the web, we have the email, supermetalworld@gmail.com. It's been a little bit slower on the article side of things. But we still do have things up about bands. We have articles up on bands like Ghostbound, Wraith. You, Mark, did one on Love Honey, right?
Yep.
And yeah, there's plenty of articles to see on there that I think you guys would really enjoy. Promise that we're going to pick up the, I guess, the frequency of those articles. It's just we're kind of in a transition phase as far as like where everybody is situated that works on this podcast. Mm-hmm. So because of that, things have been a little slower, but it'll pick back up again. Anyway, horns high. So, where to begin? I guess this concert was on a Saturday. The ticket said Saturday 7:30, Alaris Center, Grand Forks, Metallica. So, originally we had intended to go me, Mike, and girlfriend Amber, and Mark, and then Braden, Colton, and Devin, who are those three that I named at the end were my cousins. But you and Amber had a trip to Ireland that you forgot about. Can you explain that first?
Well,
it's just a casual thing.
Well, bought the tickets to the show like the spring.
Yes.
And then we saw there was like flights to Ireland that were really cheap, like $500.
Sure.
So we're like,
very cheap. Yeah.
Let's do it. Cause we always wanted to go and didn't even think about like, cause I, you know, we had bought the Metallica tickets so long ago that, you know, you forget about it.
Yeah. We probably, when did we buy those Metallica tickets? Like, February?
It was a while ago.
Yeah. And I mean, of course that makes sense. Ireland is I mean, to get those for $500 and to go to Ireland, it's we were joking about it behind your back because we were just like, oh, we just gotta, I forgot I have this Ireland
thing.
Yeah,
we were joking that it's it's like shit, I got my cousin's wedding this week and I forgot about something, or like I can't get out of this family thing. It's like, got to go to Ireland.
I got a week-long vacation.
I forgot about that.
Sorry, guys.
Shucks.
But we were able to fill... So one of those tickets got taken by one of my cousins. The other one we were, unfortunately, unable to get rid of, which we thought was shocking.
Yeah, very surprising. I feel like maybe if we were in a bigger market that would have sold. You know, had it been in Minneapolis, let's say, or Omaha, or Winnipeg, I don't know. I think that would have sold faster, but well,
I think
would have sold.
I think the ticket is harder too. Mm-hmm. But then the other thing we were thinking of is not only did they play in Grand Forks, but they played in Sioux Falls, they played in Minneapolis, they played in Nebraska, they played in Winnipeg. So you have like they're like in this hub.
Yeah,
people are seeing them at those places.
Yeah.
So it's like
there's not many big
the
cities.
Cut down
there's not
bit.
Many big cities around Grand Forks, and they played in every single one of them within a week of each other.
You're right.
And
I think this must have been a new MO for the Metallica guys. They must have just been like, hey, let's just do a bunch of smaller places that we haven't been to in forever. It just seems like a goodwill thing. I don't know. It just seems bizarre because like they definitely picked like Minneapolis isn't surprising, but like to have them all like Sioux Falls, Grand Forks, Minneapolis, Omaha, yada, yada, all like in that small time frame seems odd.
I think it has something to do with like the tour circuit that they go on. I feel like they hit the same big cities all the time. Because realistically, a band like Metallica can just go to Minneapolis and they're going to get all those fans from around the area. Not all, maybe, but they're going to get the ones that want to go.
Well, they're going
to
sell out.
Right. They're going to sell out Minneapolis or like Winnipeg, right? But I don't know. I feel like every 10 or so years, they'll come back to a Fargo, you know, in this case, Grand Forks, but they'll come back to a Dakota or something they haven't been to in a while. But
so this was my third time seeing them. This was obviously Mark's first. I had one cousin who had saw them. This was his second time, and the other two cousins was their first time. So I had a lot of first timers, which is nice because it's kind of nice to like vicariously live that experience through them. So I had went up the night before, and I mean, we didn't do anything special the night before, but we ended up going to the venue. Luckily, the venue has a couple bars attached to it. And we went there, what, around 3?
Mm-hmm.
And we had a couple beers. And we drank from like 3 till 5, a little after 5.
Yeah.
A delicious plate of nachos. What was that, Playmakers?
Playmakers, yep.
I know you're listening. Make a great plate of nachos. And the nacho cheese was spicy. Remember that?
It was. Not too spicy, though.
Just right amount of
just,
spicy.
Just right.
Are you guys still listening? Is this still really entertaining,
that's
right?
That's right.
I didn't go through our morning routines, so.
We're breaking up everything.
So anyway, around 5 o'clock, my cousins were taking their sweet time to get there, but they have, two of my cousins work on a dairy farm, so that should happen, I guess. Still in this era, believe it or not, people work on dairy farms. Like small ones, like mom and pop dairy farms. Anyway, so we got in line for this thing about around 5 o'clock.
Yeah, probably a little after 5:15 maybe.
Yeah. Doors at 7:30?
Doors open at 6.
6.
Yep. So we got there not near as early as when like Michael and I went to Metallica in Minneapolis, and we were, that was a long time in line.
Yeah.
How long were we in line for? Like,
we were in line for probably 5 hours.
Good God.
Yeah, and granted, they did have Volbeat and Avenged Sevenfold opening for them, and also it was a different, it was like a one-off thing.
It was like the
it
first,
wasn't a tour.
The first show at
U.S. Bank Stadium. Yeah. And so it drew a lot because people were coming from like, you know, Chicago or whatever, Illinois. They're probably everywhere.
There are probably people at that show that just wanted to see the stadium too.
Yeah. Probably.
You know, yeah. Just buy nosebleeds and, oh, I want to check out the stadium, walk around.
So me being like kind of just an anxious, like super fan of Metallica, I was like, man, we're only going to wait here for like an hour. We're not going to get a good spot. But then the interesting thing about this show is that their stage is in the middle on the floor, obviously. So there's more square footage of area to get close to the close to the stage. So we stood in line for a while, and then there developed a second line. We had our first bit of drama of the day where there was like two doors and two lines. And one of the we thought we were standing in the right line, which we were.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't even know what it was we up were with the other line.
Well, the other line was weird because the people were coming towards us. It was like lines going head on almost, like traffic.
Yeah.
And it was weird because like our line was the first line, and we had seen people in that line hours before when we drove by.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
But then somebody else was saying, oh, you got to be in that line. Mm-hmm. A couple of people said that. I'm like, are you sure? Because there's like four dudes up there that have been here since like 7 a.m.
And they were at the main doors.
Yeah. I'm going to go with those dudes.
Right.
And not those other dudes.
And the line on the other side of us was like, it said like buy tickets here. But then it also said like tickets in hand.
Yeah. It must
have been like, what the hell is going on? So we decided to stand our ground.
Yeah.
Which was the wise decision. My cousins eventually came, and they basically just hopped in line with us like a bunch of dirty scoundrels because they didn't wait.
Bunch of dairy farmers.
Bunch of, you know, those dairy farmers.
Dairy, they do that.
Ah, no, good, no. Good one.
That's the Tortuga twins. Will,
that's right.
We'll be waiting for your application. So, okay. So we waited in line till 6, whatever. And then we got in, and we pretty much like just went right up to the, I mean, we were close as hell. I was surprised at how close we were. We were like closer than you, Michael and I were at U.S. Bank.
If you understand this lingo, being on the floor, I call it heads back. Right, yeah. Like how many people are in front of you? I think it was 5.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Five or six heads. Insane. And when we went to Foo Fighters in Sioux Falls, we were probably 10 heads back, which was,
yeah, maybe I would more. Say 10 to 15.
10 to 15, that right? Like, we were close for that.
We were pretty close.
But we were close closer for Zach Brown, though. Because Zach Brown, we were probably
7 or 8, maybe.
7 or 8 heads back. Whereas this is the closest I've ever been for any concert ever.
Yeah, because like, we could see them spitting, sweating, like anything they were doing, we could see, and it was
kind of crazy,
really interesting experience.
It was one of the first times where I've felt this before, but it was really when I was like, they are going to be right there, like you could just like it was almost like, it's just crazy to think that somebody like that big and that famous could be like right there. So I decided, I was like, I'm never leaving this spot, and one of my cousins had the same idea. He's under 21 anyway, so he couldn't go and get beer, but I was like, you know what? I would love to get beer. Any other band, I would. But with Metallica, I'm just going to stick here. And so basically, you went and got a couple beers, though, before.
Yeah.
Because we made up our mind that we're going to like help save spots.
Yeah. Right when we got there, I did my one bathroom break. I got a beer with your cousin. And then after that, I stayed put.
But you guys got the special beer, the Enter Night.
We did.
The Enter Night IPA.
What?
Yes. Yeah, Metallica has their own beer now.
It was delicious.
Yeah. So, like, they bring it with them as they tour or what?
They just sell
it's
it
just new.
There.
It's brand new.
I think.
At the show.
Yeah. They only sell it at their shows. I think they're going to distribute it.
I think eventually they are. It's called Enter Night IPA. It's actually good.
What's the brewery called?
Don't have that off the top of my head, but it's obviously it is brewed through somebody.
Right.
But, like, they have their hands in it. Yeah.
If you see it around, it's just a...
It has an Instagram page
can,
now.
Yeah, black can, I think, with red sort of font.
Was it good?
It was.
It was very good.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Yeah, I mean, my cousin Braden had, like, that's all he drank all night, and he got pretty drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just have a couple?
I just had one, but it was a... We're not just saying this because we like the band. It's like, it was actually a good IPA. It was a pretty smooth IPA.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't too hoppy or anything, but it was...
Yeah, you would know better. You drank the whole thing. I just had a sip. But yeah, it's if you want to know what that company is or that that particular beer, you can go to Metallica's Instagram, and I think they've like tagged it before. They say like, get this tonight, and it says like Enter Night, mm-hmm. and it has its own like little Instagram page, and then I think it also mentions like who brews it or whatever, who they partner with to make that happen.
Sure, that's
but
cool.
Talk about a genius idea.
Oh,
as
super.
Far as marketing,
mm-hmm.
I mean
good.
Like
super good.
Let's have our own beer. Call it. After probably our most popular song that anybody ever knows.
Yep.
And we'll sell it at our own concerts.
Yeah.
It's genius.
It really is.
Great.
Yeah.
It's absolutely genius. And I'm sure people, you know, like people got on. Metallica recently released a whiskey called Blackened Whiskey. And this is actually like, I mean, I'm sure they're also associated with somebody on this, but yeah. Like, I feel like they're promoting that one harder than the beer. And people got on their case about that because they were like, oh, they're just trying to make money, you know, Metallica, they're just you know, they're just this. I was like, you know, like there's a shit ton of bands that do this.
They're not the first band. I literally just saw Pearl Jam do that in Seattle. They had some big shows.
Megadeth does that. Yeah, I just want to say.
Foo Fighters did that as well in Seattle. Basically,
it's stupid not to.
Yeah, especially if they're associated, well, Metallica's not associated with North Dakota, but like especially if it's a band that's going home or to a city, they're like really well known and they're gonna do something special.
Yeah,
and so they're not sellouts; they're just being.
I was gonna say
smart.
Like
I just thought it was. Yeah.
I just thought it was funny because like people, you know, if you're big, you're gonna have haters, and people just love to hate on Metallica. So like, if this was like a, let's say it was like I think Motorhead's even done something like this where they've had their own alcoholic product. Anyway. By far and away, not the first people to do this. But, like, Megadeth has done this, and that's another metal band. And they've posted about it, and nobody says anything.
No.
Mum's the word. Nobody's like, oh, you guys are just trying to sell. You know, it's like, of course they are. Like, it's a like part of it's a business. And it makes sense. And, like, you can say, like, oh, James is a, you know, they don't drink like they used to. But that doesn't mean they can't sell beer.
The deep cuts aren't going to keep the mansion alive. I got to sell some beer on the side.
Yeah, it's we got to sell a little beer, pay for the gas of our private jets.
the pyro isn't going to pay for itself. I got to.
So at this point, Mike, we had just, I don't know, we were just settling in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Mark, what were you thinking of the atmosphere?
Like right when we got there?
Yeah, kind of right when we got in and we were just...
right away, I was really excited because obviously, like you said, it was one of the first times where I was like, oh, I'm going to be really freaking close mm-hmm. to someone hugely famous.
Right.
You know, and that's something you don't see every day in North Dakota. In fact, at all. You never see it.
Yeah, you never. Unless they're country music.
Right. And, you know, other than that, it was just... I mean, we stood around for a little while and I was really interested in... The opening act, because the opening act was a comedian, Jim Brewer, who we, you know, have heard of. I've seen a little bit of his act, but it's weird because I've seen many comedians, seen some of the best comedians. I've never seen a comedian open for a metal band.
Definitely.
A big metal band, too, in an arena. So that was really piquing my interest.
Yeah, I was really intrigued by that, too. And a lot of people were, you know, there was another person that knew us, that knew our group, and he kind of tapped me on the shoulder. He's like, what do you think of this, them opening with a comedian? And my first thought is always, I don't like it, because I respect Jim Brewer. I think he's funny, mm-hmm. and he does have the cred. He has all the cred in the world to do this, but give another band that is up and coming a chance to, you know, promote another band, you know, like somebody who doesn't have a big following, put them under your wing a little bit. I don't like that. And he did. We'll talk about his performance. Jim Brewitz. We'll talk about his in a second here, but I didn't hate it. It was just okay. I just think a band would have better served it.
Yeah, he did fine. I think as far as comedians go, and the three of us are comedy nerds, I don't think there was another comedian that would have done well in that situation.
No way.
Like, let's just say like Chris Rock or John Mulaney. Like, those are better
maybe
comedians.
Like Jack Black. I don't think Jack Black would have been the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
if Jack Black had some kind of stand-up.
Yeah, like if he had some kind of shtick.
Yeah. Or Tenacious D or something would have.
Yeah, even them opening would have been.
But, you know, other than that, like a guy like Jerry Seinfeld wouldn't have done well in
that
situation.
No, that would
have
been really
a
clash of interests, I think. So it was, okay, so we got in there around a little after 6. So then we had, you know, you just basically have to say to yourself, mm-hmm. I'm going to be standing here for a while.
And you know what? The more concerts I go to, that's really what you have to do. You can't be. If you're going to be on the floor and you really want to get close, you can't have the impression that you're just going to be able to run and get beer the entire night. I mean, you can, but you're going to piss off a lot of people doing that.
Yeah. As my cousin did.
Yes.
Throughout the night.
He did.
Because he also has the bladder of something that has a small bladder.
So, I mean, if you want to be a respectable guest and get close up, I would encourage you to get there when the doors open, take care of your bathroom break right away, mm-hmm. maybe get a beer, maybe two, and then just chill
for
the rest of the time.
Wear your most comfortable pair of shoes.
Yes.
Because you're going to be standing on your feet for a long time. That's just how it is.
When did the concert get over? Were you guys up there for 6 hours?
The concert got over at around 11, since they didn't have the openers. Like, the thing that, when we went to US Bank, that was the longest I've ever stood.
Yeah.
Like my life.
Yeah.
Because we stood in line forever. We stood to wait for Volbeat. They went on. We obviously stood and enjoyed them. We stood and waited for Avenged Sevenfold. You know, like,
because we walked around and we got merch and stuff. We were probably on our feet for 12 hours that day.
And we literally had to, like, I remember we like walked up the ramp a little bit when the concert was over and just sat. We're like, I need to take a break before like we walk to your car, because We also almost drove head on into a train lane.
Yeah, I was terrified. It was great. Just a terrible, terrible.
So wait, you mean like those transit trains?
Yeah, the transit trains. Yeah. We took a right. We took a right, and it's like, this doesn't feel right. And
then the train was coming at you, and you said, "This definitely."
It came after it. We luckily we drove down the track like idiots, and then we took our right to get into the right spot, and then it was probably like 3 minutes later the train came by. Yeah. You know, like, it was lucky that because I would have had to. Was I driving?
Yeah, you were driving.
Yeah, I would have had to hop on the sidewalk for sure.
Yeah,
or I would have had to jump. Something would have happened. The craziest thing is, like, we both just weren't really prepared for it. Did they not label it, or were we just that dumb?
I don't know.
Probably
we're
a little bit both.
Just a couple of country bumpkins.
Yeah, we don't know how to drive in the city, but. Anyway, so like I said, the other thing I was curious about is the ticket said 7:30. So my assumption was that Brewer was going to come on at 7:30 and maybe give us a half an hour of material, and then we were going to have to probably wait another half an hour, then Metallica was going to come out. So my impression was that it would have been Jim Brewer 7:30 to 8, waiting 8 to 8:30, 8:40-ish, Metallica around 8:45,
mm-hmm.
which is somewhat what we got, but... This was interesting, but maybe let's just get into Jim Brewer first. So Jim Brewer comes out early. He comes out. I remember because I looked at my phone because I was like, you know, wanted to keep this in mind for talking about it now. He came out at 7:08, so he came out like early.
Oh, wow.
You know, like 20 minutes early. So that kind of gave the impression that the night was going to go early. You know, like Metallica was going to come out sooner or something. So he came out early. And a lot of his comedy is based on, he based it upon like the, like Slayer, Megadeth, Metallica, you know, like he'd do impressions of James, he'd do impressions of Lars. His impression of Lars was.
That was my favorite one.
Excellent.
Yeah.
It was just spot on.
Does a lot of like AC/DC impressions and more.
He did a James impression too. That was pretty good.
Yeah, it was solid.
Like he kept doing the like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, he does a lot of different, but like even his regular like James talking voice is really good. Lars is definitely the best. His Lars impression, hands down, is awesome. He did a Dave Mustaine, and he didn't do anybody particular in Slayer. He just talked about like Slayer fans and them being pretty crazy, which is true. So yeah, it was very like appropriate. Like his material like fit for the show. And he probably did go on for what, like, did he talk for 20 to 30 minutes?
I'd say it was about a half hour.
It seemed like it went 10 minutes too long.
Yeah, and we were wondering, too, if he was going to have, like, a band with him.
Yeah.
Which he didn't, you know, but most of his material was obviously based around the bands that you said and the musicians and whatnot. He did have a DJ with him, didn't he?
Yeah.
Maybe the guy was separate.
Well, he had a DJ that he kept mentioning. He brought somebody out from
a local station, yeah.
It wasn't like, so the local station in Grand Forks, they're called the Dogs. Like, that's their nickname. He didn't bring any of the dogs out.
Yeah.
He brought out some dude.
Yeah, the station in Grand Forks has two morning personalities that are excellent, very funny. They've been around forever, and they brought out another DJ from the station.
Some other guy.
And basically, I'm guessing they do it at every show where they bring out a local DJ, and he goes, hey, blah, 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 from
wherever
102.
Yeah,
Make sure you listen to our station. Enjoy Metallica. Bye. You know, they just a quick just little minute
shoot
thing,
little, or a shoot little, a short little plug. But instead, the guy came out and he was like super nervous.
Yeah.
He like ran around the stage, like jumped around the stage a little bit. Like he's like, yeah, you know, like
what?
I don't know what to say. Like
it was did like, he, really, did he tell a joke too?
He told a really bad.
He
joke.
He told some jokes that did not land.
Ooh.
Very cringe.
He just bombed really hard. Yeah. And what did my cousin say? Something like, am I the only one who finds this really awkward?
Yeah.
Or I can't remember what, but like, we were just like,
everyone was so thinking it awkward. And he said it. Yeah.
Yeah. So luckily, so that was a little weird. So Jim goes on. He probably, like I said, he was really funny. His material was good. People did laugh. Like people were laughing around us. Like I thought he went just a little bit long, but then he also like went out in the crowd. They gave away some tickets, brought people down to the floor, which they like put on camera, like them,
had like he spotlight.
Like he went and talked to this guy who brought like eight of his kids, and he's like, well, can you pick two of them to come down to the floor?
Oh my god,
the fucking Partridge family was
your favorite two. Pick your favorite two children,
which is funny. I thought that was funny too, because like it's like, how do you pick? Because he asked him which one of your kids are the most metal. It's like, oh well, why would you ask him that? It's kind of awkward.
Yeah.
Now the other kids are gonna be like, Daddy, why am I not the most metal? Sorry, honey. You suck. Okay. what can I tell you? Which is also the most Midwest thing ever, to go to Metallica with eight of your children.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Like, for real. And we're going to dig into that, too, because we had John did go to this show, and we'll bring up his point of view, which I think is deserves to be brought up. I think it's an interesting point.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jim wraps up his set. Like I said, he got on there about 7:08. He probably ended 7:45-ish.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, I'd say about 7:45.
But then, like, he went back and talked to Lars, and Lars was like, they had this little back and forth, which was kind of amusing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Lars held up pretty well. Like, he didn't come off too corny. You know, like, I thought the banter was pretty good.
He was using a slice of concession stand pizza, it looked like, or something.
Nice.
Yeah, like, they had, like, a backstage camera, so we were, like, watching him up on the screen. And then Lars said, like, oh, yeah, like, we'll be out. This is terrible. But, you know, we'll be out there, like.
You sound good. You sound like a little
curmudgeon. We'll just go with it here. We'll be out there in, like, half an hour, 45 minutes. Or no, 45 minutes to an hour, I think is what he said.
Yeah.
And we're like, he's joking. Like, that's not going to be that long. Because, like, we would have to wait an hour between Jim Brewer and Metallica coming on. And that just seemed, like, longer than necessary. So eventually Jim Brewer ends up saying that there's a wedding next door, and he's going to bring the bride and groom up here. So he brought a bride and groom up and on the center stage, and, like, they had their first dance up there, which would be pretty neat.
And we should mention, at this arena they played in, it's, like, a giant convention center with the arena, different ballrooms and shit.
The two bars
weddings.
We were talking about.
The
couple of bars.
A hotel is in it, a really nice hotel.
It's a lot going on there.
Yeah. So
there was a wedding next door.
Right. Do you think that was planned way early in advance, or was that on the spot, do you think? Relatively on the spot.
I think it was on the spot, but at the same time, they knew, because, like, I remember them saying, like, are you okay that, like, your wedding's going to be going on the same time Metallica? Are you okay with that, or do you want to reschedule it? And they said they were okay with it. Mm-hmm. And then he just happened to be a big Metallica fan. A little fishy. But at the same time...
Because we were wondering, like, well, usually a band will take, like, 30, 40 minutes between the opener to where they get on stage. And Metallica took
a full hour.
They definitely took a full hour. And we're wondering, like, well, maybe something went wrong with the... You know,
yeah, that's where our thoughts went. Like, maybe something technically went wrong because it seemed like Jim was trying to, like, stall for time because he's like, oh, I'll go back and talk to Lars, which I'm sure he probably does every show. Yeah. But then getting the bride and groom thing and then, like...
Hindsight, I bet it was the bride and groom that made it a little bit
longer. Well, I thought that was a reason. I thought something technically was happening.
And they just...
Yeah. And he's like, go fill some time. So he's like, okay, I'll try to go bring this bride and groom up here. Or that could... You could look at that both ways. But that was one of the, like, John went to that show as well. John was up in the seats. We were down on the floor. And one of his complaints was, like, why haven't they gone on stage yet? You know, like, why is it taking them so long? And then reflecting back on it, I was like, it is taking them longer than I thought it would. Mm. And I was like, you know, for one, they're just doing the rock star thing.
Yeah.
You know, they were not going to come out at 7:30.
They're going to take, a rock band is going to take 30 to 40 minutes. Like, will happen.
It said 7:30 on the ticket. They are not coming out at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be respectable. I actually thought, like, they're coming out at 8:30. But I think it threw things off because Jim came out at 7:08. I think Jim waits to come out until 7:30. Then everything would have not seemed like it was, like,
sure.
like we were waiting forever for them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird that he came out at 7:08. That's what made it seem like something... behind the scenes was going on that he was, like, stalling for. And I don't know why.
That was really strange.
You know what I mean? Because if he comes out at 7:30, everything else seems...
Coordinated.
Almost, he comes out at 7:30, does his spiel till 8, and then we wait a half an hour to even 40 minutes for Metallica. So I don't think it's so much that it was, like... I think they came out pretty much when they intended to come out.
Mm-hmm.
It was just that it started earlier than expected and probably... made people's expectations be like, oh, they must be coming out early.
Sure. Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, I thought it was very a non-point almost.
Mm.
I mean, it made things interesting, but it wasn't like, didn't make or break the show.
And just a tip, if you are waiting for the band to come out, you got that 30, 40 minutes or an hour to wait, have some good conversation starters ready. Really makes the time go by quick. We did some would you rather questions. We did some some deep thinking questions.
You can talk to some of the people around you if
make some friends
if they look normal or appear to be normal. We had some normies in front of us right away.
Oh yeah.
So anyway,
normies.
So finally, I shouldn't say finally, but the moment, one of my favorite moments of the Metallica show. You know, all the lights go down and they start playing The Ecstasy of Gold. That moment always gives me chills. How did you feel during that moment, Mark?
Big time chills. That was probably one of my favorite moments of the show. Like, my personal favorite moment of almost any concert is when the lights go down right away and the crowd goes apeshit.
Yeah.
That's always a great moment. That gives me chills regardless.
But yeah, it's always a great moment.
That song is just so epic.
Yeah.
And it just really gets you jacked up. Mm-hmm. And their like, stage set was awesome, too, like, with all the whole technical aspect. And I'm trying to remember, what was the first thing that happened after that song? Wasn't like those giant like square,
they had these square
green box things,
they basically these square boxes that had video or screens on them, I guess, and they would rise up or down, and then they'd have video footage on them that like was appropriate for whatever song was being played.
Sure. So that came on, and then right away was it James or Kirk was by us right away?
I think it was Kirk. Kirk was by
we were by one of the microphones, one of the several microphones.
James had the main one that was right in front of the drums. We were by we are on his left, our right, or right side of the stage.
That was cool. That was really cool when they first came on stage, and then you really realize that, oh, I am not far away from one of the greatest guitar players ever.
Yeah,
any sort of snake pit thing?
No, not this time. Okay. This was just, all the way around. There was no special area.
Sure.
But there was, so it was cool because the lights go down, they play The Ecstasy of Gold, and I always like how they play The Ecstasy of Gold and then slam into the song like after it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And for one, like the Ecstasy of Gold's awesome because they've been doing the Ecstasy of Gold for years. Like they've
just
been opening with that, so there's a lot of tradition to that. Mm-hmm. And plus, I do think it's like it sets that precedent of like, okay, this is like a big boy band is about to play. Like,
yeah,
this is. It, the anticipation is really awesome,
and it's a song that builds and builds and builds and builds.
Oh yeah,
too. You know it doesn't like fade out; it just keeps getting stronger and stronger, and then finally they.
The only thing I mean, this is me personally comparing it to when Michael and I were at US Bank, is that they came out with "Creeping Death" was the first song, and I remember like the end of "Ecstasy of Gold." You know, like the lady singing in her like falsetto, or maybe it's a man, I don't know, but. And then that the Ecstasy of Gold stops, and then they like slammed into like like that was awesome. I was like, holy shit! This time though, they like faded in with Hardwired, and it was pre-taped, so it's just that the
sure.
But it wasn't them yet. And then it was like so then you know Hardwired will go and then they go into the song. So basically, they like it was like a pre-tape that they faded in. And then once it got to like a certain point, then they started playing. I didn't like that as much. I wish they would have just like came out full volume. I didn't like that it faded into Hardwired. I mean, that's just me nitpicking, but it faded into Hardwired, and then we were off to the races, I guess.
Do they do that every show on this tour? Do they start with Hardwired pretty much, or do they
pretty much
it,
every
mix
set
and
list
match?
I've seen, they start with Hardwired. They start with Hardwired and Atlas Rise, which is what they did at this show, and. Which I thought was cool. I thought it was cool that, you know, they're still going to play their new, like whatever album they're touring for, they're going to play.
Start with that.
They're going to play a lot songs, off of that album, which shows that they have confidence in that material. So yeah, they start out with Hardwired, and then they did Atlas, and like
Seek
I said.
And Destroy, I think, was after that then, right?
That was their first old song. What did you think of the sound at this point?
It was okay.
I thought it was hard to hear them right away.
Yeah, I feel like my ears warmed up to it after the second, third song. So I've only seen probably two or three shows at the Alaris Center, and it's not the greatest quality by all means. I didn't think it sounded bad, though. I mean, my ears weren't...
I think our ears had to warm up to it, and then maybe the sound guys were doing some adjustments, you know? Because right away, it just seemed like I was having a harder time hearing, like... James sing, like it seemed like, you know, like the instrumentals were a little loud, or they had to like almost turn Kirk up too. Sometimes it was hard to, like the first couple songs I'm talking, it was just a little harder to hear.
I would definitely say by Seek and Destroy song 3 I was well adjusted.
So at this point I think, you know, we can go through, we don't have to go through song by song, but I just want to pose the question that so John was at this show, and he posted something on Facebook about him being a little upset that he said the atmosphere didn't feel like a metal show. It felt kind of like a circus because where he was at up in the stands, there was like older people, like I'm talking elderly. There's people in cowboy hats and like the North Dakota attire of like cowboy hats and flannel and boots and like Wrangler jeans. And there was families there, like we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. And John and I had this discussion. It wasn't like we were yelling at each other. We were just kind of, after the concert, we were chatting over Snapchat. And I had said jokingly, I was like, so you hated the show? And he's like, no, it didn't feel like a metal show. And he's frustrated that it took him a while to come out. So the while to come out, we already talked to that. Yeah. We don't have to keep talking about it. I will say that I get what he's saying with Metallica. I think that a lot of it has to do with, they are a huge band, and the Black Album was hugely successful and is still successful. So I think you are going to get people that just pay to be like, well, they're in North Dakota, and I want to see what's this Metallica mess all about. You know, what I've been hearing about this Metallica here, and I'm going to take my 8 kids. I'm going to go. We're going to buy ourselves 8 tickets, or 10, I guess, because my wife's going, and so am I. You know, like I feel like you get people that just wanted, like, it almost is like a circus in that way, where they're like, what is this? I've been hearing about this Metallica thing. I want to go observe it.
And you have to understand too, in Grand Forks, there's not much entertainment in general in that city. So when a band like Metallica comes there, they're going to, like you said, just go to check it out. There's several people I know that had maybe heard one song.
And probably
Enter Sandman,
yeah.
maybe Fuel, and that's it. And they went to the show because their, you know, husband dragged them along or something. Right? There were probably tons of people at that show that had no...
Especially five songs. Especially people who are sitting in the stands. Because their tickets are cheaper. Mm-hmm. So they can be like, oh, 40, 50 bucks.
You're probably going to get a lot more of a metal show vibe on the floor.
That's the thing. I felt like I had a much different experience than John had in the stands.
Yeah. And that's what I told him as well. I said, to me, it was fine. Like I thought the crowd was into it. There was a metal crowd, you know, we were up in the thick of it with a lot of the people who are passionate about this band are going to be on the floor.
It was a lot of passionate fans that for the most part were, there was a lot of good concert etiquette.
Yeah, for the most part, you know, you get people that get drunk and then they start bumping into you and think they can do whatever they want, and which you're going to get at any show.
You know,
but we didn't get that experience when I was at when we were at Zac Brown at the Zac Brown band. It's more of a country crowd, you know. Mm-hmm. So I remember we were just moving to get closer, and I moved in front of this lady, and there's room there. You know, there's like enough room for like three people to stand in front of her. Mm-hmm. And I moved there and she's like, oh, we've been waiting. We've been standing here all concert. Like, we've been here 4 hours. Like, I was like, yeah, but there's a spot there. So this is just how this works in the pit.
Yeah, this is like, one of my...
Do you want me to introduce you to the pit? This is what happens.
Yeah, welcome to the floor.
This is one of my biggest pet peeves is unless you have like a group of three or four that can maybe save your spot like in a way to where you have a little bit of room to where that person can get back... Then if you leave the pit, then
you got to fight your way back, or you're not getting back.
Exactly. You're not entitled to get your spot back. So if you're three heads back from Zac Brown or mm-hmm. James Hetfield or whoever you're seeing,
yeah.
If you go get a beer, go to the bathroom, like, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. My favorite excuse is my husband's up there. My boyfriend's up there, or I'm trying to get to my wife. You know,
sorry.
Like, it's like some instances I'm sure that's true, but I feel like a lot of times people are just like, say that.
Yeah.
I need to get to that person. But also, I just want to make it clear that the only space you are entitled to is the space in which you occupy.
Yeah.
If you have three spots ahead of you that I can fit in, then I'm obligated to be there. There's no seats in the pit. That was at the Zac Brown band. This did not happen in Metallica. So anyway, you know, so he had that. The other thing I would add and that I did tell him is that metalheads don't have to look a certain way. That guy with his kids is... He's a big Metallica fan, and maybe he cannot come unless he brings all his kids.
Yep, maybe he couldn't get a sitter.
And same with the Cowboys. And, you know, like, just because they wear that type of clothing doesn't mean they're not a Metallica fan. I would say that, you know, I was wearing a red shirt and white shorts, like white, like khaki shorts. Like, I didn't look like I was wearing a white shirt.
And khaki shorts.
And brown khaki shorts. Sorry.
You looked like you were ready to hit the beach.
Yeah.
To be honest.
So I'm saying, like, there's not, it was this entitlement again of, like, this is my show, this is my band, and you don't deserve to be here because I've listened to them, you know, so I have this entitlement, you know, like, I get it that they're maybe not as into it and they're fair weather fans, and that's a bummer. But Metallica is like what can Metallica do? Or are they going to say, like, you can't buy tickets unless, like, they're a big band. I don't know what else to say. And the
only metalheads are allowed to buy tickets.
Like, that's not fair to say. And that's not what metal's about. Like, we should be about including everybody. And if these people want to come here and get their first taste of Metallica, then I think they're more than entitled to do that.
They're, you know, they're a metal band and they're not an arena rock band, but the show they put on is like an arena rock show.
Yeah.
They're a metal band. Don't get me wrong, but like their show is like a spectacle.
Well, let's not pretend that they're not also like a hard rock band, because the Black Album is like a hard rock metal album.
Right. And they're not like an extreme, they're not like a death metal band either, right?
Yeah. And that was the complaint is that, you know, and John, I know he's going to be fine that we're talking about this because I've already had this conversation at length with him. You know, he's more, you know, like Slayer is his favorite band. And I love Slayer too. You know, that's just a different thing. But they are an extreme metal band. And the people that go to that, you're not going to get fair weather Slayer fans.
No.
You're not going to get people who are like, oh, I'm only into Slayer because of Angel of Death, you know, like, or I'm only into Slayer because of Dead Skin Mask. Like, people who are into Slayer are like, that go to Slayer shows, I should say, are basically Slayer, like diehards.
Yep.
And not only just diehards, but just fans in general.
Yeah, right.
And they're going to know how a metal concert works.
No one goes to a Slayer show just to check it out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Whereas you're going to get that out of Metallica, because people are, you're going to get people that are like, hey, I want to hear Nothing Else Matters. I want to hear Enter Sandman. I want to hear Sad But True. So sue me. You know, like, it's just different. It's, and I think the floor was perfectly fine.
I do too. I thought it was a really good vibe. And also, let's just bring up the point again that this is Grand Forks. Really, for entertainment, you have college hockey, which in Grand Forks is a huge thing. College football, both of those weren't going on. So it was just the only thing to do in town that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I mean, it was literally something to do for the people that live there. College is back. I mean, you're going to get some fair weather fans.
Definitely.
No other way around it.
I also want to point out that their set was great. And John did say he enjoyed their set. He thought their set was awesome and their show was, you know, Metallica themselves were Metallica and they did a good job. He was just annoyed with the people there. And I get it and I don't. You know, like, it's like one of those things where it's like, I understand you were sitting up there and you wanted everybody to be like passionately into it.
Yeah, but some people were like, coming from too.
But some people were probably like, dude, you're way too into this. You know, I just, I'm here with my 8 kids. Settle down, broski. But
yeah, like if he's headbanging in the stands and some guy, and I don't know if this happened or not, but if someone's like, can you tone it down, sir? Then it's like, well, chill, buddy. Like, I'm just headbanging.
I think he have some kind of experience. I don't want to speak for him, but like, he did say he ended up towards the end of the show, they ended up going onto the floor here. So anyway, I mean, let us know what you think about that. I mean, obviously, like, we all would love for everybody to be there to be like, I'm the true Metallica fan. And I, you know, like, I'm going to have the proper etiquette and I'm going to behave a certain way, but you're not going to get that, especially in Grand Forks. Yeah. You are not going to get that.
Right.
You may get that elsewhere, but not here. Let me take a quick peek at the set list here. So like I said, the set list I was actually really happy with. Thought they did a great job with the set list. So the first old song they played was Seek and Destroy. And then we got, I almost have it here. Okay, so after that we got Ride the Lightning, which was awesome.
Nice. Like
they rarely, I was telling, because Mike actually, or Mark actually asked for that, your Mike. And I said that was probably what I say, like a 15 to 20% chance. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just rare. It's more rare that they play Ride. And Kirk like nailed that solo. And maybe Mark doesn't know about this, but Kirk is pretty hit and miss with that solo live. He's great, but he just sometimes fucks up live. I don't know what else to say. I love Kirk. He's like the most gentle kind, one of the most gentle kind human beings in metal, probably. You know, like, he's just a great dude, but he fucks up solos sometimes.
Is it just that song, or does he fuck up a lot of solos?
Well, that song in particular, like, the solo is insane, and it was written by Dave Mustaine, actually, so there's a whole thing there. That one is, he's known for flubbing up, and not like major where it's like click, like Guitar Hero where it's like click, 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 but he may just like skip a part of it because he gets like off. So he'll like, he'll like maybe do a freestyle doodle and like jump to another part of it that's more memorable. Is that kind of how you feel?
Yeah.
But there are, I would say he typically always nails the master solo. There's just some ones that he just, he flubs up on here and there. So anyway, we got to see Ride the Lightning. That was great. They played the original Unforgiven.
Nice.
After that, which is, it's still nice to see a Black album. Those songs always play great live. Like,
yeah,
it's sold a ton for a reason. Mm-hmm. And those songs are big stadium rockers.
Yeah, crowd pleasers.
And they always fill the crowd. And people really know those. So then after that, they played Now That We're Dead. And that was pretty cool. That was the part where they had the cubes come down and then like James was playing the drums and then they all were playing the drums.
They had that drum line. That's right.
That was interesting.
It was a little weird.
A Metallica drum line?
It was like an African bongo.
Yeah, like, they had like these giant cube drum, like drum things. I don't know what they were. Yeah, they all just picked up drum sets and they started doing a drum line.
It was like,
I didn't understand it. I enjoyed it.
Like the song dropped, basically went away and Lars got off his kit. And then James just started playing this square drum thing. And then eventually Lars joined in, and then Kirk joined in. And maybe Rob, I couldn't see Rob, he's on the other side of the stage.
All four of them were involved.
And then at one point they were all playing different parts. So like James was was drumming something different than a couple of the other ones were. It was pretty cool. Yeah, and then they got back in, and then Lars got back on the kit, and they finished Now That We're Dead. So that was neat. And then after that, we got Dream No More, which, again, off their new album. And that played the best live out of like all of the new songs, I thought. And that was the one that you kind of thought sounded like Sad But True.
Yes.
Because I remember you saying, like, is this Sad But True? And for a second there, it kind of sounded, it has the same energy. And
kind of start of it, yeah.
But that played really great live. It like filled, it's a great riff, and it really filled the stadium, and it played a lot better than I thought it would. After that, we got For Whom the Bell Tolls, and that obviously crowd pleaser. Mm-hmm. That was great. Towards the end of that, we had, between Dream No More and For Whom the Bell Tolls, Rob played Anesthesia.
Oh, nice.
Really cool. And then while he was doing that on the video board, they had like, Cliff.
Like cool. A montage.
Yeah. Montage of Cliff while he was playing it. So that was pretty neat. So then after that, For Whom the Bell Tolls, they slammed into Sanitarium. And Sanitarium was great.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you say that was your favorite, Mark?
It's probably the first Metallica song I ever heard, too. But that was probably... I'd have to hear the set list again, but that's definitely top three from the show.
Yeah, that was really cool.
I've always loved that song.
But the other thing that made that more memorable is Kirk's guitar wasn't working.
That's right.
So they had to play that do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Like, they played it, like, a bunch of times through. And then eventually, like, Kirk got his guitar switched out. And then he, like, played a little bit of it. And then he realized his guitar worked. And he's like, oh, all right, it works. And then they, like, kind of reset. And then he did it again. So it was kind of, it made it cool.
I agree. I it made it seem moments. Like they were human. Yeah.
And then
we could see everything up close to, you know, they were kind of communicating with each other.
Right, communication. Guitar.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, like, James never reacted at all to it. He just, like, had his eyes closed. You know, like, he'll play his guitar with his eyes closed and, like, kind of look up, like, I'm dramatic. Yeah. I don't know what
what he's talking about. Yeah.
But, like, he just kept playing that part, and he didn't like ever look around. You could just tell that this has happened before. Where he's like, just keep playing. He'll eventually come. Cause he even commented after the song. He's like, you guys got the special extended version of the song. Yeah. I didn't think Kirk was ever going to start playing or something like that.
Cool, cause do they have like earpieces and stuff like in ear monitors?
I'm sure people are saying like Kirk's guitar doesn't work is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody's saying that in his ear. And also, like, they are on the road so often that I'm sure, like, everything you could imagine. Actually, I'll show you guys the actual video when we're off air. But a couple shows after ours, Kirk biffed it on stage where he was, like, running. Because he was, like, playing a solo, and then he was, like, going to run to the other side of the stage.
Oh, my God.
He biffed it, like, face first. it's really funny. Go look that up. It's on Lars's Instagram for you guys who want to see that. Okay, so then they played Sanitarium. And then Kirk and Rob played Jungle Boogie.
That's right.
You know, like they played like the good, they didn't sing it or anything, thank God.
So that was a moment we were looking forward to because a couple nights prior to that, they had played a rendition of When Doves Cry by Prince.
Oh my God.
Not good.
It was pretty
really?
Bad.
Like Rob sang it, and that's what made it not good.
Ah.
This is what it sounds like when the doves. Yeah, and then he was like trying to get the crowd involved, and ooh, man, this is it's not great.
I think they're doing that in every city. They try to find some sort of common theme with the city. I mean, Minneapolis would be Prince, obviously, right? But North Dakota's like, well, what are they going to do here?
Jungle Boogie.
Right.
Yeah, it was like, that was a good call by you, though, because I was like, what are they playing? It sounds so familiar. Do you know what we're talking about when we
I think
that?
So, yeah.
It's like, Jungle Boogie. Jungle Boogie. I like the boogie. It's like that weird song. Who does that song?
I don't know. Anyway. I have no idea.
So, and then they played it. But then it was cool because, I mean, Mike wouldn't have caught on to this, but like then they started playing Eye of the Beholder. Or Mark wouldn't have caught on to this. They started playing Eye of the Beholder, and Kirk just pretty much played it. He played, like, the whole song. Not the whole song. He played, like, the verse up into the chorus, and they were just kind of running around the stage playing that, and then the crowd started singing along. Like, James didn't come out or anything, but we got a little Eye of the Beholder taste, which was kind of cool.
Oh, nice.
That's, cool. Obviously, a deep cut, cool
moment. That's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, they never play that live either. So just to hear the chords was cool.
Yep.
So after that, they played Motor Breath, which was also awesome because it's like you don't ever really get to hear them play Motor Breath. Then we got another live staple, Creeping Death. Like,
yeah,
they pretty much always play Creeping Death.
Yeah.
Always plays great live. Then they played Moth Into Flame. Sad But True. Everybody loves Sad But True live.
You should rewind Moth because that was a really cool moment in the show too. Wasn't that when the drones?
Oh yeah, then they had the little drones flying around.
Drones?
Yeah.
Everything went dark, and then they had these like little, I don't know, like neon green drones just kind of flying around. It was pretty cool spectacle.
Yeah, that was nice. One thing I should say about Moth Into Flame is James always says that this song is about the dangers of fame and what fame can do to you. And he actually got the idea of Moth Into Flame by watching the Amy Winehouse documentary. It's on Netflix, actually. It just talks about how she was like, basically, I think she's also British, or she's from either England or Ireland.
Yep.
And she was set up to be like this huge star because she kind of mixed in like almost like old jazzy numbers into like pop music.
Yep.
Probably on the same track as like Adele almost. And then she ended up dying of overdose.
Yep.
And a lot of people said it had to do with like just the fame got to her. And I think that's what that documentary goes over. I haven't seen it. Actually, I'll probably watch it tonight because I'm talking about it. So that's the large influence of why he wrote Moth Into Flame, just an FYI.
Hmm.
So then they go into Sad But True, which is, like I said,
it's a fun one.
That is a fun one live. It's always been one of my favorites they play live. Sad But True is just a fucking heavy song.
Yeah.
It just fills up the stadium, and he gives his famous, you know, you want heavy. Metallica gives you heavy, baby. And then they slam into it. I mean, it's cool because, like, it's funny because I know he's going to say that because, like, this is my third time seeing them. But, like, I'm sure it's cool to, like, hear some of that for the first time because you don't know how, like, James' personality is on stage. James' personality on stage, what were you expecting and what did you get?
What he gave was kind of what I was expecting, I guess. Okay. I didn't picture him being all that animated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. He didn't really surprise me, but in a good way, though. I kind of expected him to just, for the most part, just play his guitar and sing and not really like run around on the stage. You know, like when we saw the Foo Fighters, like Dave Grohl was like running the entire show.
Yes.
I wasn't expecting him to do that. You know? I wasn't expecting him to do like crazy shit with his guitar, you know, and like, you know, being super, like I said, animated.
But
I mean, he was excellent.
I feel like James is very laid back on stage. Like, he's very like, welcome to the Metallica family.
Right.
He said that a lot. Yeah, like, that's a big thing. Yeah. Like, the Metallica family gets mentioned a lot.
Welcome to the Metallica family.
Yeah, and that's the thing that Jim Brewer did, too, is welcome to the family.
You know, like, one thing he didn't do, I thought he would talk to the crowd more, you know, because a lot of times they'll take a break, they'll talk to the crowd a little bit, but he didn't do that all that much, aside from the Metallica family spiel.
He
also mentioned that we have been a band for 37 years. He said that several times.
Yep, he did say that.
I learned that.
And he's... I think he's like, I always maybe expected him to be just more intense because he was like back in the day when he was drinking
like
a lot more.
Screaming and shouting.
Because back in the day, like, he used to scream and swear and drink beer and burp and on stage. You know, like, he'd be like, hey, how's it going, you fuckers? Like, you know, like, just have, he had like more of a edgy metal energy, and now he's like tamed in his... Yeah. And now he's just very like zen, and peaceful, like, welcome to the family, you know, like,
he's a father now, you know?
Yeah.
It's like our next number. A lot.
When he, you know, when rock stars talk, it can be insightful. I like it, but when they get going on like political rants and shit, it's like, just play the next song. And that's what I liked about Metallica. They talked to the crowd, but they kept it at a minimum. And
yeah, because he'd be like, you know, do you want to hear an old song? Then they go into Seek and Destroy.
Yeah, it kind of depends on the singer, personally. Like, like Eddie Vedder, Dave Grohl, those guys, Springsteen, those guys are all fantastic storytellers.
Yeah.
So they can talk to me, you know, for minutes at a time, but if it's someone I don't give a shit about, like, then they need to not talk.
James,
I feel like, would have been a good storyteller, too.
The other thing is, I think James has not ever been a big talker, because, like, Lars always gives, like, the long interviews, or he gives, like, you know, he has his own radio show, he goes on, like James goes on podcasts too, but he's probably more comfortable in that setting because it's just him and another person. But yeah, I think he does a good job.
Lars has to have a fantastic memory because at the end of the show,
oh, that was hilarious.
At the end of the show, he was like,
we were in Minot, the city west of here. Oh yeah, Minot.
And he named the year, the tour, and then he's like, yeah, we played in Bismarck a couple times and Grand Forks. This is our second time here, and we played in Fargo about four or five times.
Is that place that has the Taco Bell across the street? Like he named all this stuff.
Which is true. There's a Taco Bell right across the street from the Fargo Dome. It's just really impressive.
Yeah, it was cool because he gave the spiel like, we're gonna be back in sooner than 29 years. I was like, I don't think so, but maybe. But like, it was cool that he remembered, like, you know, when you add the Taco Bell touch, that's pretty impressive.
You don't make a good impression, guys, of Lars. You did a good job.
Thank you. It finally came to me. Yeah. Like, I don't know why. Before, it was terrible. Anyway, so then they did Sad But True. And then another, I think, highlight of the night, they did the War tape that transitions into One. And One is always pretty
probably
epic.
My favorite.
You think that you
I
put
think,
that
yeah,
above?
I would go number mm-hmm. one, I think.
So then
One was one.
One was awesome. I mean, so they ended on a pretty strong note here because we basically got Sanitarium, Motor Breath, Creeping Death, Moth into Flame, Sad But True, One, and then they slammed into Master of Puppets after One. Mm. And then that's when finally, this is something that I thought was like kind of lacking in the night. We finally had a mosh pit burst out.
Okay. Yep.
And it was funny because I've never moshed. I usually don't mosh, but I moshed. I got caught in a mosh basically, and then it just happened. I was like, okay, I'm just going to mosh then. Because what happened was this guy was trying to like push his way to the front, and people pushed him back, pushed him into my cousin. My cousin pushed him into my other cousin. My other cousin pushed him into this other group of people, and then they pushed him back. And then all of a sudden it just
hell broke loose
right next to us.
Yeah. It just erupted. And it was right at the, like, you know, like the master part. But it was really crazy. Like, people react strongly to Master of Puppets. Like, as soon as that gets played, like, the crowd just, like, amps up another level.
The energy just...
And then, obviously, tenfold, I mean, enough that it erupted into a mosh. And it erupted into a huge mosh because, like, it was just, like, the borders were forming. And that was fun. I mean, I got knocked on my ass because girls were pushing me from the border, the borders of the mosh. Like, pushing me in the back. And I'm blindly pushing me, and not nicely. Like... get the fuck out of here. And I remember me and my cousin both landed on each other on the ground. We're in the middle of the mosh. I was like, we're going to die. And then my other cousin picked us up, luckily. But usually mosh etiquette, it wasn't very good mosh etiquette at that show, I would say. Usually people are supposed to pick you up. You don't let people fall. And you definitely don't push them to kill them. You're like, it's just energy bouncing back and
forth.
It's
nudge. Mm-hmm. It's nudges.
Yeah, it's pushes. And like, if it's a bigger person and you know they can handle it, sure, give them an extra nudge and they'll probably give you one back. But it's never about, like, I never view it as like de-footing someone.
No, definitely not.
It's not a show of, and I think it took a while for my cousin to realize that too. He's a big boy and he was getting like, he loved it. He loved the mosh, but he was like,
a little too intense.
He was intense in there. Yeah. I was like, remember though, that it's, you don't need to like kill people. It's just like energy. He's like, oh yeah.
He that's also right. did not have a shirt by the end of the concert.
Yeah, he ended up taking his shirt off.
Oh my god!
So that happened.
He's a mosh warrior, but it was fun. So anyway, so then Puppets happens, and then they did they didn't really have an encore, which was interesting.
That was my biggest beef with the crowd.
Yeah, it was.
I'm gonna blame this on the crowd because, as all of you probably know, whatever concert you're at, when the lights go down again. And like the band leaves the stage, that's the encore cue. And usually the crowd goes apeshit. And maybe it's because
I think it's because the mosh broke out.
I think it was too. The mosh had broken out and people were starting to get back to their spots. And there's just a lot of talking going on. It wasn't just cheering. Usually when the encore is about to happen, there's just nonstop cheering. Yeah. And there wasn't that. And maybe my ears were just ringing, but all I could just hear was talking. Just chatter from everyone. Yeah. Right? Just the whole stadium talking rather than just cheering. So... I don't know. That was kind of, for the crowd, that was kind of disappointing.
That was a little bit. It was weird. I remember looking at Mike. I was like, did they play an encore?
Yeah, and I was like, I think this is it. This is the encore. Because yeah. the lights are down. Like, what yep. else would they do?
Yep.
And they hadn't played Sandman or Nothing Else Matters or, you know.
So then their encore ended up being, which they slammed into Battery. So then the mosh resumed.
Yep.
And then they went into Nothing Else Matters. And the mosh still tried to happen.
Was there
people were still trying to mosh during Nothing Else what? Matters.
At that point, I'm like.
But they were like slow moshing. Yeah. It was like they're moshing in slow motion. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then they ended with Sandman. And, yeah, I mean, overall, I just thought I was very impressed with the set list. Like they,
yeah, it sounds like a good set.
They still had, you know, like personally, the only one I really wanted to see, I wanted to see Halo on Fire. I wanted to see that live. But Dream No More, like, exceeded my expectations. And of course, there's always a few like that you're like, oh, I wish they would have done that one because they have like such a huge library. But like,
I think it was a very crowd pleasing set. I feel like a casual fan could have enjoyed it. I feel like a fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like me, that's a little more, like I said, advanced casual. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I really did. And I probably knew a little more than half the set.
Mm-hmm. Some of those were just the new album. You probably were like, I'm not familiar with the new album, you know?
But they still rock. I mean, like, they're awesome songs. We should mention at right after Sandman, they, you know, took their bow. Lars did the speech about the Taco Bell across the street from Fargo Dome. And then Rob had like a red solo cup
full of all
of these guitar picks, and he went by us and he just started throwing them into the crowd,
just like making it rain.
And of course he missed us by like a foot.
Yeah, like
and they're like, oh shoot, you know, we didn't get our guitar pick. So he goes to the, you know, every corner, and then all of a sudden like James has like a little stack and he's like flicking them into the crowd.
Yeah,
like he would a booger almost. Like he's just flicking them at people.
Yep,
and then. Kirk's doing the same thing. Didn't Kirk have like a red solo
Kirk
cup
was
too?
Throwing them out. Yeah.
Basically, they did like three laps and they never came to us.
Yeah, we were right in front of them.
Yeah, we were right in front of them. He threw like handfuls of guitar picks.
Yeah.
Handfuls.
And people were going apeshit over these guitar picks too.
But
Braden got, or my cousin Braden got one for me, luckily, so I didn't even have to do work for
it.
I actually ended up getting one from a coworker.
Yeah, so we
She's like, yeah, my husband got five. You want one? I'm like,
how did
hell
he get
five?
He must have got like rained upon.
Yeah, she said that he a bunch of them fell on the floor and he just put his foot down on like five or six.
That's a good idea.
And then just waited for and he just kind of stood his ground, you know, and after everything cleared out, he just.
And then Lars, I mean, obviously you always hope for a drumstick, but he kind of did the thing that I think is smart because he doesn't want people to kill each other. He'll just walk up and hand it to somebody.
Yeah, he doesn't like whip a drumstick out.
I think I think that's like a smart thing to do. I'm sure early in the day.
Hit someone in like the fucking eye or
something.
Well,
either one, you have a lawsuit on your hand or two, you incite a massive riot. Well,
yeah, now all of a sudden you got like a broken drumstick that's like a kind of a wooden shank.
Yeah. Well, it's that like people go shit crazy over picks. I was like, I can't imagine if you would have threw a drumstick in our area, we would have got killed.
Yeah. Like
definitely.
Yeah.
And this is like coming. I've got a Megadeth drumstick. I'm very proud of that drumstick. But like that was crazy.
You bled
like,
for
I got,
that.
I bled for that drumstick. Like I got.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Like it got thrown. The guys missed it. The ogres in front of us. They were like really tall people at that like, Megadeth concert.
Yeah.
Like over 6'5".
Yeah. Like 6'6", like. 260.
Like Michael's a tall guy. Michael's probably like 6'1"?
6'1".
Like they were making him look small, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not very tall.
Two
but,
of them.
But
just
luckily,
like these giant ogres.
These two giant ogres, he threw it at them and they both like with their fat ogre hands, they were able to catch it. So it fell at my
Get
feet.
Get out of me, swamp.
So it fell out of their ogre hands and onto the ground. And since I'm closer to the ground, I was able to bend over and pick it up faster because they like tried to like... And I got it before them.
That is.
And it was funny because we fought over it for a second, and he's like, "Yeah, you're literally stepping on it in your hands over it, so you can have it." But
that is just so much cooler of a story than my drumstick story.
You have a drumstick story?
I got a drumstick story.
Well, go ahead.
Who's drumstick?
His name is Steve-O. He is the drummer of Sum 41.
Oh, nice.
They played at a little venue here in Fargo a couple of years back, and after the show, I needed a ride home from my cousin, so I waited outside the venue. And I saw their tour bus, so I walked over. There were probably like 10 and 15 other fans. I walked over to them to, you know, chat and just wait for my cousin to show up. And Steve-O just walked out of the bus with just about 5 to 10 drumsticks, and he just gave them to everyone.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty
neat. I'd have to, like, fight for it. I was like, cool, thanks.
But I that just goes to my point. Like, if Lars throws one out there, you're starting another mosh, basically.
Yeah.
So totally, and plus, he should give it to the people up front. They work their ass off to get up there.
Yeah, they deserve it.
Like, you kind of deserve it. You probably were standing in line for hours and totally get it.
Endured a lot of shit.
Yeah. Another thing we didn't mention, but I just got to mention quick. James is rocking a fucking awesome mustache.
Oh, yeah.
Is he really?
Fu Manchu, right?
Does the Fu Manchu have the thing in the middle?
It's the Hulk Hogan
It's just mustache. Like just like the handlebar?
That's what James is rocking. Yeah. Yes, that's what James is rocking.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
It took me a second to realize it, but I was like, he's fucking rocking the handlebar mustache.
He said he looks like that guy from... is it Pawn Stars? No.
No. Yeah, that meme that's like, put the groceries in the bagging area. And it's like, it's the people yelling at each other.
Yeah.
And then it's, I don't know, whatever.
Or maybe it's a, what the hell is that show called?
It's American Chopper.
Yeah, American Chopper. Yes, yeah. Sorry, Ponzo, whatever. Yeah, it's
He has like that mustache, basically.
Okay, nice.
It's like that, dude.
Nice.
But, and I just saw something on like Loudwire Metal Injection where they're like, does James Hetfield have the best mustache in metal? I was like,
oh,
of
God,
course.
Fuck off.
You have to make a list of everything.
Top 10 mustaches in metal.
I guarantee you that they either link the list because they already have that list, or they did something with it.
You got to put the guy from Opeth on there.
Yeah, he's got a pretty sick mustache too. I mean, Freddie Mercury, I think, has the most iconic mustache. Yeah. Like, can you think of a more iconic
mustache?
Should
we make a list of the best mustaches?
I mean, I think we could. We would do it justice. Yeah. But I think you have to, you definitely have to include Freddie Mercury on that list.
Yep. Lemmy Kilmister?
Yeah, Lemmy would go on there. There's got to be more, obviously. We have to do research on it.
Yeah, we would.
But anyway, so all in all, we both enjoyed our Metallica show.
I'm glad you guys had fun.
Yeah, and it was just shocking. I mean, when they announced that they were coming to Grand Forks, we were all shocked.
Yeah, definitely.
But like, usually Grand Forks, like I said a million times, has nothing going on, and the concerts there, for the right reasons, are always bigger named country acts.
Yes.
And if there is a rock band, it'll be like Def Leppard. Occasionally, you know, like
or Journey,
hair metal bands.
Yeah,
occasionally,
their last bit of life support.
Occasionally, they'll have like Avenged Sevenfold or someone play there. But
yeah, like a lower, like not a lower tier, but like the next tier metal band.
Yeah, like Foo Fighters will never play Grand Forks. You know, bands
very.
Like, you
I know, would not with not with Sioux Falls, you know, having their venue.
Right, but hopefully, a band like Metallica coming to Grand Forks will open the door for them to come to Fargo more often, Grand Forks, and
yeah.
I don't know.
No, that's
nice,
true,
but
yeah, I think as far as the crowd's concerned, I think the crowd was okay. I don't think it was a great crowd. I don't think it was a bad crowd. I think it was just an okay crowd.
Here's the thing, too. There's 20,000 people there, and we're just between our group and where John was. We're just in two small spots. In that entire venue. The crowd could have been totally different on the other side in the seats.
Well, there could have been more moshes that started on the other, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
And that just depends on where you sit. You may sit by someone that's a complete asshole. You might sit by someone that's a diehard fan like you. I don't know.
Definitely. You
really never
life's
know.
Life's like a box of chocolates.
That's right. That's exactly it.
Anyway, so thanks for listening. Just for a reminder, we are at www.supermetalworld.com. Our email is supermetalworld@gmail.com. Get at us on that. And remember the thing about iTunes. My life is on the line, so please 4 or 5 star rating and write a review and recommend us. And thank you for listening, new and old listeners. Horns high.